to AWARE. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Aware Show Life Teleseminar Series. I'm Lisa Garr, and I'm so incredibly blessed and grateful that you're here with us today. This is going to be an absolutely amazing town hall meeting with Dr. Wayne Dyer, who's going to be joining us in just a minute. And I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for being on the call and set a little bit of an intention here and tell you what today's call is going to be like. It's going to be a little bit different than our traditional teleseminar calls. The teaching is going to happen through you, and the calls that are going to be coming in, each call magically happens, represents so many other people's questions. And so as these calls are coming in and Wayne and I are answering questions, you'll have the opportunity to learn from other people's experiences. It's always the best thing to do this. All right, so let's just take a one little second and maybe 30 seconds and say, ground, get into the center of your body, in the center of your head. Be in the present time. Let go of what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future, and just be right here, right now, with yourself, enabling yourself to learn as much as you possibly can in this moment. And we are all divinely guided in this moment together. No mistakes. For every reason that you might not know now, you will find out maybe later. But we're all here together so that we can learn to guide other people through what we learned today, because ultimately everyone listening right now is a leader in your own life, of your family, of your business, of whatever it is. You are a leader, every single person listening. So what you're going to learn today will help you in your own life and then to go on and lead others. So with that intention set, I'm going to tell you what's going on today. We are going to be taking calls. Dr. Wayne Dyer is my guest today. As you all know, there's thousands of people on the lines and there's so many questions coming in. The reason is because Wayne is such a magnificent man. He walks his talk. He's authored over 30 books and an internationally known author and speaker in this beautiful field of the human potential movement. Wayne, are you with me?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm talking to Bo about my master cleanse.
How's it going? How's the master cleanse? We spoke with Wayne on Monday. How you doing with it?
I'm doing great with it. I'm on day 8, and I'm thinking about doing 21 days. And, you know, they told me I'll be 20 years younger and 20 pounds lighter. And
wow.
You know, ready for someone as beautiful as Lisa Garr. You know, I don't know.
Beautiful as Wayne Dyer. Hey, you have an enormous amount of energy. So you've been on the master cleanse, which is mostly liquids, all liquids, for 8 days, huh?
8 days, no solid food, but I don't even think about food. I'm getting plenty of nutrition and exercising and doing yoga and swimming and walking and
so is it
writing.
True all the energy that goes towards digestion you're using for your life right now?
I guess.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know quite how it works. I just know it's lemons and maple syrup and cayenne pepper and laxatives and lots of time on the toilet. Looking at all the little friends that built their houses inside of you. With their, you know,
wow, you're
coming out.
Pretty clear. You know, this whole conversation just took a totally different direction.
Yes, it did.
Well, thank you for being here in the middle of this cleanse. And you sound fantastic. I mean, clear as a bell. You were on Monday,
yeah.
Too.
I feel great. I always do, though. So.
Yeah. I know. You don't necessarily need a cleanse to feel as great as you do, but it's
well,
a good
it's very interesting because it's a challenge, and it's one of the things I've encouraged people in their whole life to do is to get out of their comfort zone and to really challenge themselves in new ways. And the idea of our bodies get used to this idea that we have to have food and we have to have so much of it and we have to have so much sleep and we can't do too much exercise and all of these things that have been imposed upon us since the time we were little kids. And you know, I've got a 72-year-old body that has never gone more than a day or two without eating ever in my entire life. And to challenge myself in this way each day, it's even more exciting to get out of this comfort zone and to say, you know, I can heal this body of mine. I can make it work at an optimal level. And I can. You know, I remember reading Siddhartha. Did you read Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse?
I remember you quoting him, though.
Right. Well, it's a great little book. It's a story of Buddha when he was a young man. That was Siddhartha is with his friend Govinda, and they're traveling around, and Siddhartha is fasting. And finally, Govinda says to him one day, he said, I don't understand, Master. He said, what good is fasting? And Siddhartha, Buddha, looked at him and said, I can laugh at hunger. And I've never forgotten that line that, you know, most people look at hunger and they get terrified of it and they just think, oh, my God, I'm going to collapse if and so on. And he said, I can look at that and realize that I'm something way beyond this body of mine and all of its demands. And I can just laugh at it. And that's kind of what I've been doing. I'm laughing at hunger. I watch people eating their cheeseburgers and I watch commercials on television and I just sort of...
Right.
That's something that laugh at.
It gives you a different perspective. It absolutely does, which is kind of applicable to what we're talking about today with people's calls, because they're calling in about being in a lot of pain, looking for different ways to do things, doing everything they know to do and still not producing results. So what this is going to require is a lot of what Wayne's doing right now is absolutely shattering the belief system and breaking those limiting beliefs down to a point where they disappear and you get a whole new perspective on everything. Because we have hundreds of questions coming in, and I'm going to tell people in a minute how this is going to work, but it's all about that. It's about shattering the belief of what you say on these questions that you're even writing in about being in a lot of pain and about relationships not working and about trying everything and it's still not coming through and cancer and diabetes and all the things that are coming through here, which are real. I'm not minimizing your experiences with them, but you have to shake up your belief system in order to get through or break through what you're
absolutely
asking.
Yeah. And one of the biggest belief systems we have to shake is what I've written about in Wishes Fulfilled, is this the idea that our reality is defined by what our senses tell us, by what our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our sense of touch and our and so on, what these five senses tell us. And we have a tendency to just strongly believe that whatever it is that they tell us, whatever it is I see with my eyes and hear with my ears and touch and so on, is my reality, when in fact, within you, your interiority is a very, very different thing altogether than what these senses are telling you. And if you can begin to, you know, the great line that I've used over and over again throughout my life is that we become what you think about, whether you want it or not. And if you're thinking about what's wrong, or if you're thinking about what's missing, or if you're thinking about your pain, and then you see it and you experience it, you don't have a chance to go within and say, I am something beyond pain. I am something beyond beyond poor. I am something beyond financial problems or beyond relationship problems. I am divine. I am a piece of God. I am connected to the divine at all times. And that's how I choose to define myself. I mean, before I came on the air with you here this morning, I did a 40-minute meditation and repeated the sound over and over again. I am love. I am content. I am peace. I am God. And just reminding myself of that. And that's one of the biggest ones to overcome.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because what you're describing is everyday enlightenment. You're not talking about sitting on a mountaintop and at top and for 40 years. I mean, you're talking about how to apply this to people's practical everyday life. And that's what we need. In order to raise the conversation on this planet, we have to change the whole idea of what it means to bring enlightenment into practical times.
I was thinking about, for all the people who are calling in about, you know, like physical pains and so on, and what I'm saying to you right now is that you become what you think about. Just imagine how much time you spend sitting in front of a television set and how many times a day that you are told to think sick. You know, with all of the commercials that are flooded at you on a regular basis about your arthritis, about your heart pain,
right,
about gas and so on. And it's like there's this inundation, you're inundated on all day long, you know, and so are your children, on all of the things that you should be talking to your doctor about, all of the problems that you have. And it's like you, and if you become what you think about, as a culture, as a country, we become a nation of hypochondriacs, literally being force-fed information telling us to think about what's wrong instead of having us think about how positive we are and how healthy we are and what it is that we're capable of and so on. You just don't get that kind of information, so you have to get that from within. And that's why meditating and so on. That's just sort of an aside on there.
I'm with you. And so I'm going to tell people how the calls are going to work. Is you're going to, in order to raise your hand and actually ask a question directly to Wayne Dyer, you press star 2 to raise your hand. Press star 2 to raise your hand, and then I will call on you by the city and state that your phone is registered in. But we're going to do it by a random number selection here, and I'm going to ask Wayne to pick a number between 1 and 50, and we're going to take your... We're going to take the call, the number that he says, and it's just going to work out the way that the people that ask the questions are going to represent hundreds and hundreds of people that are listening that have the same question. It always divinely works out this way. It's incredible and always supported, and it's perfect timing no matter what. So you're doing it now. I see the hands raising. Star 2 to raise your hand, and I'm going to call on you after Wayne picks a number. And then I'll call on you by the city and state that your phone is registered in. And give us your name, because it doesn't always register your name on this particular system here. But I wanted to tell you a quick story along the lines of what you were just saying, Wayne. I have a friend who went to her doctor, and she said that the doctor said, well, you looks like you have all these cysts, and we're going to do an ultrasound, and it's going to take a couple of days for the results to come in, but why don't you take this medication just in case you have these cysts? And she took it. She took the medication. It made her sicker. I mean, it made her so sick, the medication. She found out 5 days later she didn't even have the cysts. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
I know. No, but how many
that just
people
makes
have,
me sick.
How many people have done this? Because we are not empowered ourselves to listen to our own intuition about our bodies. And
that's an amazing story. Just the thought of that, of just giving someone just take some medication, take some you know, something that we've created in a lab here someplace, just in the event that you might have it, instead of go within and begin to use your mind to tell yourself, even if whatever it is that you do have, that you are capable of transcending it and healing it and getting past it.
Right, and that's why we have conversations like this, is because people are now understanding you can break outside the limiting beliefs. You can register whatever anybody says to you up against your own truth and check that against. And what we're going to talk about a lot today is how to be confident with that truth, how to understand the I am principle, how to know that you control your destiny more than you ever realized, along, of course, with your relationship to the divine. And so that's a lot of this stuff. But I don't want to get this an enlightened conversation. I want to make this real and keep it real. That's why I brought up my friend. It was a perfect example of how we are robbed from our own truths in every aspect, in every other thing we look at, except with what you write and what we read from what you write and talk about in the meditations you do. And
yeah. It's interesting, Lisa, that in 1996 or 97, the number of prescription pills that were given to people in America, no, 1987, one generation ago, was 3 billion in America. 3 billion individual prescription tablets were issued. In the year 2000, 20 years later, one generation later, that number is 113 billion.
Oh, wow.
That's how dependent we have become upon taking drugs in our society in order to alleviate our pains, rather than, you know, changing the way we think, changing the way we eat, changing the way we exercise, and beginning to realize that we, you know, these temples that are our bodies that house our souls are perfect creations of God. All we have to do is just treat them with the dignity that they deserve.
Yes, and that's true. So, and also one of the things that Wayne writes about in his book, which is Fulfilled, and we do have an amazing offer up here for you today as well. If you go to theawareshow.com/Dyer, D-Y-E-R, Wayne Dyer's last name, there are an amazing amount of products on there that Wayne has recorded, written about, offered in terms of practical meditation exercises, a children's book on there as well. I got to tell you a story.
Seminar. We've got films from Assisi and Medjugorje and Lourdes, the Experiencing the Miraculous. The hardcover book, Anita Murjani's book alone is worth the price of that, because if you read that, you'll change your view on who you are and what you're here for.
And everything,
when
yeah.
you see how she healed her body from end-stage cancer. Anyway, it's a fabulous, fabulous package at an incredibly great price. So.
Really good stuff. Okay, so now pick a number between 1 and 50.
I'm going to pick the most spiritual number there is, the number that means life in Hebrew, and it's the same as the date today, number 18. It stands for one infinite source, infinite source.
Great. 18. All right, so caller number 18 is in Seattle, Washington. Seattle, Washington, sure. Do you have a question for Dr. Wayne Dyer? My Seattle, Washington person here. I unmuted your line, so we're just going to hopefully...
Oh, okay.
The person from Seattle, Washington, do you know who you are? Here we go. All right, we're going to try that. It's interesting. All right, Tulsa, Oklahoma, do you have a question for Dr. Wayne Dyer?
Hello.
Hi.
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 Great, thanks. All right, what is your name, first of all?
It's Lacey Lane.
Pardon me?
Lacey.
Lacey, okay, Lacey. Do you have a question for Wayne?
Yes. What is a really good way to deal with anxiety and anger? I feel like when I wake up in the morning, I can sometimes almost feel it coming on.
How to do what with anger?
How to get rid of anxiety and anger in your life?
Yes.
Well, I could do 4 hours on this. I've written so many books on this. But basically, in The Course in Miracles, it says there are only two reactions that you can have in life, emotional reactions. One is fear and the other is love. And what I would recommend is that you begin to look at all of the things that you have to be grateful for instead of putting your attention on all of the things that you're upset about and that you don't like. Be in a state of continuous gratitude. Recognize that there is no such thing as anxiety that exists in the planet. If I gave you a bucket right now and said, all right, Lacey, here's your assignment. I want you to go all over Oklahoma and bring me back some anxiety. You'd always come back empty-handed, because anxiety isn't something that exists in the world. There's only people thinking anxious thoughts. And so once you recognize that this anxiety is the result of how you are choosing to process all of the events of your life, and that's the same thing is true for anger, and the same thing is true for fear. Once you begin to get to a place of love and see yourself as someone who is steadfast in that, and if you looked at all of the things that you think are making you anxious, you know, I always give an example. Years ago, I don't know if you remember this, Lisa, there was remember the Challenger when the seven astronauts exploded and
yeah.
they were all killed?
Yeah.
So on that day, that particular day, I was scheduled to speak in Seattle, Washington that night, and I had to fly all the way across the country to do it. And I have a rule that on the days that I speak, I don't ever read a newspaper or turn on the television. I don't want to have my inner world affected by all of the stuff that's going on out there that the news particularly likes to report. So I hadn't heard anything about this. It had happened in the morning, early in the morning. I got to Seattle. I was in my hotel room. I meditated. And it was about 10 minutes to 8, and I was getting ready to go on. And someone approached me and said, wasn't that terrible about what happened with all the astronauts being killed this morning? And I hadn't heard anything about it. Well, as I went on stage, I felt this pain inside of me, and I felt some sadness, and I felt, you know, some anxiousness about this whole space program and about losing all of this kind of stuff. All of these thoughts were going through my mind. So I asked the audience out there, I said, what do you think is causing me to have all of this internal stress right now? And people would raise their hand, and they would say, "No, well, it was, you know, it was losing this many people, and it's obviously something that's going to cause you to be unhappy, and hearing people just killed and being disintegrated, and so on." And I said, "No, I said none of that is the case. I said if that were the case, if those were the things that were making me feel stressed right now, they would have happened when the event happened. But the event happened 12 hours ago. It was only when I found out about it and I chose to process it in a way that caused anxiety within me that now I felt it. For 12 hours after the event, I had no awareness of it, and consequently, no no possibility of being upset or depressed or unhappy. And this is the same thing I would say to you, Lacey, about everything that causes you anger and stress in the world. It isn't that person. It isn't the event. It isn't the circumstances. It isn't the stuff going around outside of you. It is inside of you. You have the capacity, the ability to choose to process the world in a way of love, in a way of acceptance and gratitude and kindness rather than the opposite.
Does that make sense to you, Lacey?
Yes, it does.
And
yeah.
Are you aware of what's causing the anxiety when you wake up and the anger when you wake up?
Yes and no. I think yes
I would I would suggest this to you, Lacey. When you go to sleep tonight, I write about this in Wishes Fulfilled. That would be very, very helpful for you to read that. And I call it the Wishes Fulfilled Foundations. And one of these Wishes Fulfilled Foundations, I called it, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. In the book of Job, it is said there that when men are slumbering on their beds, that your ears are opened and your instructions are sealed. That is, while you are sleeping. When you go to sleep tonight, the last 5 minutes before you go to sleep tonight, instead of having you using your mind to review the things that you don't like and the things that upset you and the things that hurt you, you're about to enter into your subconscious mind for the next 8 hours and marinate there for the next 8 hours. I would recommend that you go into your subconscious state reviewing all of the things that you would have placed into your imagination that you would like. I am content. I am peaceful. I am love. I am safe. I am happy. I am healthy. Just constantly use the words I am, and all of this is explained in the material that is being offered there. But as you do this, as you get practice at this, you begin to rechange your subconscious mind so that when you awaken, now that you rejoin the universal subconscious mind, now that you rejoin God, you're now beginning to attract into your life the kinds of things that you have placed into your imagination rather than If you heard what I said at the beginning, we become what we think about all day long. And if what we're thinking about is what's missing, then we're going to attract more of what's missing. If we're thinking about what's wrong, we're going to attract more of what's wrong. If we're thinking about the people that make me angry, we're going to attract more anger. You become what you think about. And as we said on the last show, Lisa, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at do change.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's when anxiety will go away.
Absolutely, and it's a whole. That's the whole concept behind it, is to change the way you look at anxiety and become separate from it, because it is not you. You are not the anxiety. The circumstances and situations around you are not you. You are different and separate from those, and you can take responsibility for your own feelings and behaviors around those. Okay, going back.
Eleanor Roosevelt once said that no one can make you angry without your consent.
That's a very important
thing to remember. No one can make you anxious without your consent. No one can make you anything. Your interior world is yours to use it any way that you want to.
Beautifully said. I'm writing all these down today. Okay, going to Taos, New Mexico. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I meant to ask you to pick a number. I'll do that in the next one. All right. No one can make you angry without your consent. Okay. All right. Anyway, so to honor my caller in Taos, New Mexico, I think it's Diane.
It is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Wayne. Hi, Lisa. this is so awesome. I don't have a question for you, Wayne. I just wanted to thank you. I turned 68 on Wednesday, and I read your book, The Erroneous Zones, on my way to England 34 years ago. So you have been an integral part of my life, my spiritual journeying, reading all your books, and I've ordered your package from Monday. And I just love you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all. And I watched your movie last night, the one on Your Greatest Teacher.
Oh, My Greatest Teacher, the story of my forgiving my father.
Oh,
yes,
I wept and wept. It touched me so deeply. I had issues similar to that. My mother left at 8, and I didn't get to see her again till my grandmother's funeral when I was almost 19.
Wow.
It's interesting, Diane, and thank you very much for your kind message. But I think there's something that that will help a lot of people on the line with what you've just said about My Greatest Teacher, which is that you know, the probably the turning point in my life, Lisa, was back in 1974. You know that I lived in orphanages, and my father abandoned myself and my two brothers and so on. Until I was 10, I wasn't able to get back with my mother and so on. And I carried around so much anger and so much bitterness and so much stress inside of me. And I used to dream about this man and so on. And I went to his grave, and I was sent there by a series of really bizarre circumstances. And when I got to his grave, and I really believe I was just sent there by God in order to really fulfill the Dharma that I showed up on this planet to, the teaching that
amazing.
I do.
Yeah, of how you
I stood there, and I really had gone to his grave to do something else on his grave, really, because I was so angry at him my whole life. And what happened, just as I was leaving, something pulled me back, and I went back, and I said to him, from this moment on, I send you love. And I have never dreamt about him again. I've always seen him as an angel. I see him as someone who is there to guide me, who's there with me right now, even as we're sitting here on this phone contact here right now, all across the country. I really feel that he is that he incarnated into this world to have a son, so that I could
wow.
practice forgiveness and teach so many people. It turned my life around. So all of you on the line who have got some kind of bitterness or anger towards anyone who has done anything to you in the past, I would recommend that you go within and just practice what turned my life around. At the time that I went to that gravesite in 1974, I was overweight, I wasn't running, I was eating terrible, my writing wasn't going very good, I was in terrible relationships, I was drinking. So many things were out of control in my life. And when I walked away from that, Lisa, in 1974, I went down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was teaching at St. John's University in New York. We had 2 weeks before the fall semester was starting. I rented a hotel room down in the Spindrift Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, and I wrote Your Erroneous Zones in 14 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Beginning to end, with no, just wrote it. And and it became, you know, a book that, was the beginning of 39 more books that I've written. In
39, yes.
Years. Yeah.
See now, and thank you, by the way, for your call, Diane. I just, for some reason, I just clicked on your name, and you're just blaring out there going, pick me, pick me. I don't know, but thank you so much. Your enthusiasm was greatly appreciated. And you do actually speak for so many people of who are in positions of searching and looking and that's true. So many questions come in, Wayne, saying, thank you so much for your work. You have turned my life around. So I'm really glad that Diane said that for all of those questions that I never really do get to, that always just wanted to say thank you. So, okay, pick another number from between 1 and 50.
50.
Oh, okay, there we go. All right. Last person in here in Prescott, Arizona. Hi. Do you have a question?
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Wayne. Oh, my God. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Melissa.
Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi. What is your question, sweetheart?
Well, you know, I've been studying all kinds of spiritual principles throughout my life. And, you know, when things are going well, it's great. And then, you know, okay, so let me just say, I think that, like, my biggest question and struggle that I deal with is rejection and fear. You know, I had been out of work for about a year, and I landed, like, my dream job. I became an events planner, and I'm a graphic designer, and had been doing this for the last 6 months, and after the last event that I planned, my boss came to me and said, I've decided to let you go.
And you're
even
a single
though it was
mom, right? You are. I read your question.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember this, yes. And so...
You know, one of the... Let me just respond, because we could, because of the shortage of time. The you know what the ideal thing to do at a moment like that, when your boss says, I'm going to let you go, is to get down on your knees and say thank you and be in a state of gratitude. you know, gratitude isn't something that you express just when things are going well and when everybody around you smells good and when everybody tells you how wonderful you are and when things are going well. Everything that comes into our lives is something to be grateful for, and there are no accidents of all of these things that show up in our lives. And the rough spots, the hard times, the struggles, the things that you think shouldn't be happening are often our greatest teacher. The name of the film that someone wrote in about is called, I called it My Greatest Teacher, because my father was my greatest teacher. And this is a man who abandoned me, walked out on me, never had anything to do, never even made a phone call in his entire life to even acknowledge that I existed. And yet he was, you know, he was probably the greatest teacher that I ever had. I had a good friend. I don't know if you ever interviewed, I'm blanking on her name right now, the triplet who wrote on death and dying.
Joy? No, that wasn't Joy. It was on death and dying.
Well, anyway, she said, her name will pop into my head in a moment. She said, you know, if you shield the mountain from the windstorms, you'll never see the beauty of the carvings. And the beauty of the carvings is like all the things that happen to us in our life that that we think shouldn't be happening, all the storms that show up in our life are things that usually propel us into a higher place. And so you mentioned rejection and you mentioned fear as things that are just operating in your life on a regular basis. But when you see yourself as divine, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is the name of...
Oh, that's what I thought you meant. I thought, well, yeah.
I just blanked on it for a second.
Yeah.
So that when you can really see that all of these things that are showing up in your life are part of a almost like a celestial plan for you to, you know, to move into higher and higher places. I've often used the metaphor of when I was in high school and I was on the track team, and I used to, you know, I would run up to the bar, and in the process of running up to the bar, I'd get down as low as I can. In the process of getting down low, I would generate the energy to propel myself over the bar. So the lower I got with the speed, the higher I could jump. And this is a metaphor for everything in life, that the low points in our life, almost every advance that you make in your life spiritually happens after a low point, after something hasn't gone right, after you've had a struggle. And this is true in so many areas in our life. It's also true medically, you know, that the kinds of things that we go through, the real pains that we go through. And when you talk about fear, you know, if you read Anita Murjani's book, which is a part of this incredible package that is being offered, if you read that book, one of the things that she says is what she believes caused her cancer, caused her to get so sick, was that she lived totally in fear of this her whole life. Two of her friends died of cancer, and she was a person who was always trying to please everybody else and trying to fit in and do what other people had programmed her to do. And as a result, she went around living with this kind of internal stress that we call fear. And once you get rid of those kinds of things, it's impossible for you to ever then feel rejected again, because, you know, it's like... there's no way that there's any possibility that at this point in my life I could ever feel rejected by anyone at any time, because I've just recognized that everybody's opinion is just theirs and they're entitled to it, and who I am is a divine connection to God, and I feel that divine connection at all times, and consequently what other people think of me is really none of my business. I just don't pay attention to it. So
sometimes that is easier said than done, but I when you actually practice it and you can separate, you look back maybe if 2 months go by, you can separate from something and you realize, oh, that's what you're talking about. In your case, was it Melissa with the
yes.
being fired? In your case, if you were able to create such an amazing job in the first place with being an event planner, which making, you know, the ability to make things beautiful and provide an environment for other people to feel good, you can do that and so much more beyond that. And you're a mom, and you're creative. You have creativity flowing all over you. So as much energy as you're pouring into that past experience of rejection, take it all back, because it's your energy. It's yours to own, and then move forward. You don't need to get, it's as just as Wayne is saying, getting stuck on those types of things is only going to, you know, if we put all of our attention and energy on what everybody else thought about us, we would never be able to move. This, you know, front, backwards, or sideways. you just take all that back, because you are a creative being. You are an amazing mother, I'm sure, because you care about your child. And use all that energy and channel it on something different, because that's definitely where, and so many other people listening. And thank you for your call, by the way.
Is she still there?
Yes,
Melissa?
I am.
Yeah, do you meditate, Melissa?
Not as much as I want to. Honestly, this job consumed me. I didn't have time for anything.
okay.
So now, I'm recognizing some gifts that will come from this.
Definitely.
Because I'll probably have more time. And yes, I would love to get back into that.
The meditation that is a part of this pod is called the I Am Wishes Fulfilled meditation. Is to the sound the most beautiful sound that you'll ever hear. It's the same sound that is correlated with the letters that God said to Moses, "I am that I am," the name of God. So you're actually hearing the frequencies, the same vibration as from the God code. So I would recommend that you try that meditation. And just, even if you don't know how to do it, just turn it on and just sit there and allow yourself to do it for 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening at the beginning. And when you said you didn't have time because your job took up all your time, I was correcting you as you were saying that. I was saying I wish that you'd say I didn't take time. Rather than believe that your life was sort of being circumscribed by the events that were taking place in your life, your job, its requirements, and so on. When you didn't say to yourself, "Hey, I am very, very important, and I am love, and I am taking time to sit quietly and be peaceful and to connect with God and connect to my source."
Saying I didn't take time. I want to just take a second to talk about what Wayne's talking about with the special offer. That he and Hay House put together this enormous offer for you all to continue these teachings, these lessons, diving in deep with reading the books. There's a meditation CD. If you go to their website, which is theawareshow.com/dire, and you look at the offer there, there's two offers, and I want to explain why. There's one offer that has Wayne's books and the Wishes Fulfilled book, the Anita Morjani's book with Wayne writing the foreword called Dying to Be Me, which completely explains, it will shift your perception of life completely. And then there's practical exercises that you can do with the I Am Meditation CD, which has a specific frequency in it in order to accelerate that I Am place in your life, that feeling, that experience. It's incredible. And there's also a second offer there where you can get tickets to the I Can Do It conference in either Washington or Pasadena, and there's a special lecture that Wayne is going to give specifically for the people that purchase this offer, and it's a very exclusive lecture that Wayne is going to be doing with the people who purchase this offer, and that's the in-person event. That's the Wishes Fulfilled in-person event, and that's enormous, because I know all of the gifts that Wayne delivers in his lectures. So they get to spend a little bit of time listening and participating in a very wonderful event there too. And that's in either Washington or Pasadena, and you get to choose either one by going to that special offer, which is lovely of you to spend
you.
Time
by
with.
The way, also, we haven't mentioned, but also part of that offer is we did an entire two-day seminar on this. We're talking for an hour here. We did an entire two-day seminar here on Maui last year, and that's what that six CD set is. And we also took 160 people to Assisi and to Lourdes and Medjugorje and filmed all of it, including a two-hour lecture in each one of those sites. The one in Assisi was one of the most life-changing lectures that I've ever given. If you ever get a chance to watch that, I encourage you to do so. So that's all part of it as well.
You can go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/dire, and that's where you can get the special offer here. It really is. It's over $300 value. It's what you've seen Wayne talk about if you've watched any of the PBS specials. This is half the cost of what that was offered for on PBS because of our relationship with the Hay House and with Wayne. So the gifts here are really enormous. There's seven items in one offer. So it's and plus, oh, that's right. And then all of the interviews that I've done with Wayne. Now, this is, by the way, a huge benefit. is the interviews that I've done with Wayne on my radio station here in Los Angeles on the Aware Show in LA. We have also thrown into that to sweeten that offer even more, because those interviews were also life-altering interviews. They're my favorite interviews, and I've interviewed Wayne several times. These are my favorite ones that that have to do with the John of God story, the whole entire conversation that he had around that and the miracles that happened around that. So that's all included there as well. So I want to make
those
sure
those go back. There's 5 hours of interviews there. That's right. And we've had some great interviews over the years.
Yes, we absolutely have. We always have such a great connection because I've known you for several lifetimes.
Yes, I know that.
We've had that conversation for several lifetimes. Okay, so I want to get back to the calls. In the meantime, go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/dire, and check out the special offer, because this dives deeply into your processes of what we're just touching on these calls today. But I definitely want to go back to taking your calls. Okay, pick a number, Wayne, between 1 and 50.
37.
37. All right, 37 takes me. I'm scrolling up here to North Carolina, Franklin, North Carolina. Do you have a question for Dr. Wayne Dire?
Yes, I do.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you? What's your first name?
Jeannie.
Jeannie.
Yes.
Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Dr. Dire, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How
Good.
Are things in North Carolina?
Blessed.
Nice,
okay.
Very nice.
I have a question that's more on the applicable line of things. I read Wishes Fulfilled, loved it, love you.
Thank you
so much.
Wonderful.
For taking these concepts and giving us the ability to apply them in our daily lives. That's not always so easy to do. But
yeah, and you know what? I don't even take credit for doing it, because that whole book was channeled. I'm telling you, I just sat down and it just came through me. It was one of the sweetest experiences of writing I've ever had.
Wow.
Go ahead.
It's a sweet spot for sure.
Yeah.
I'm also a writer, so I know that.
Oh.
When I go into what you described, the gap, and I'm trying to stay there between the last thought and the next one, I notice that my ego gets really scared. And it becomes frightened, and it interrupts the I am. And I'm having a difficulty trying to eliminate the ego screaming at me while I'm in the gap. I know this is very technical.
That's a great question.
No, it's a very good question, though.
Yeah.
But it's the ego is a very, very tough taskmaster, and it lives in constant fear that you're going to find out that you don't need it, that you really are not, and most people don't understand the ego is. I always say it's an acronym for edging God out, EGO. And it's because when we are born, I tell my audiences, I wasn't born Wayne Dire, and you weren't born Lisa Garr, and you weren't born Jeannie. You were just born, and then all of the stuff that was imposed upon you that you identify yourself with, your name, your sex, your age, your femininity, your what you can do, what you can't do, the language that you speak, the clothes that you wear, the customs that you have, and even more important than that, all of the beliefs that you have come to hang on to, which mostly are designed to make you feel just sort of ordinary and weak and less than. You're certainly not raised to believe that you are God, even though the scriptures are filled with references to your own divinity and that you are one with God. You're raised to believe that God is something outside of you and that is going to do things for you and is going to punish you and you're going to live in fear and all of this stuff. And you're also raised to believe that, that all things aren't possible, even though in the scriptures it says, Jesus says it very clearly, with God all things are possible, which means it leaves nothing out. It leaves absolutely nothing out. All things are possible. But we're not raised to believe this. We're raised to believe to edge God out and to take this perfect being that we are and to start to believe in what in the East, what Muktananda called the false self, to believe that you are what you have. So you start accumulating as much as you can, and you are what you accomplish, and you are what other people think of you. And so all through your all educational process, you're trained to believe that who you are is based upon what you own, what you do, what others think of you, that you're separate from everybody else. And you just grow up with this kind of stuff. And then you go into the gap, as you mentioned, Jeannie, and you start saying, that I am peace, I am kindness, I am love, I am God, I am connected to my source, I am capable, I am all things to all people. and your ego starts screaming, wait a minute, no, you're only what you have, and if you don't pay attention to that, somebody else is going to take it away from you, so you better compete with other people, and you better get angry with them, and we start creating a whole world of people like this, and we start having wars over these kind of concepts. I'm taking it to an extreme, but this is what the ego is constantly doing, telling you that don't pay attention to this other stuff, because if you ever start to really get this message that you are God and that you are capable of doing all things and that you are divine love, if you ever really get this, you have no need for this ego whatsoever. You know, and so it's just constantly reminding you better watch out. Somebody's going to take it away from you, or somebody's going to be better than you, or you're not number one, or whatever. And this is what. So the question that you're asking is, how do you get this? How do you get this ego to stop being so insistent and such a pain in the ass for you all the time?
And you're actually asking
a great big one.
Well, you're asking it for a lot of people, because there's a lot of questions on the questions action saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get through this? And what is the? How do you use the I am meditation?
Mm. Well, the antidote to the ego was what I call divine love. Patanjali put it this way. He said, now this is really important. He said, when you are steadfast, which means you never slip, this is what a Jesus was, this is what a Buddha was, this is what the great spiritual masters are, this is what my teacher, Swami Yukteswar, Yogananda's guru, speaks about, that we are love. We are love. So that love is the antidote to all of this. So Patanjali said, when you are steadfast in your abstention of thoughts of harm directed towards yourself and others, that all living creatures will cease to feel fear in your presence. I mean, you'll affect the animals around you, you'll affect the weather around you, you'll affect everything and everyone around you when you are steadfast. So what you have to do is practice being steadfast, which means you only have thoughts of love. You know, human love is different than this divine love. Human love sort of comes and goes, and it varies and it changes. But divine love is a love that is the steadfastness. That's all you have inside of you. So every time when you're trying to get yourself into the gap, that you have one of these fearful thoughts showing up, which is the ego just knocking on your door saying, wait a minute, remember me? You know, you better try to get some more, and so on. Remember, when you went to school, when you were just a little girl, when you were 5 years old and you went into school, you were taught that your value is based upon, you know, how many people like you, mm-hmm. and how many friends that you have, how well you do on your tests, you know, how much stuff
right.
you do, you know, what kind of clothes that you wear, you know, in comparison to other people, how beautiful you are, what, you know, and, you know, and all of this endless kind of stuff. You were never taught that you are divine, you are perfect, you don't have to have any of this stuff. So you give love to that thought. You just give love to that ego questioning. You say, thank you, I acknowledge you. And you go right back to saying, I am God, I am peaceful, mm-hmm. I am love. I am because divine love is the antidote to every single demand that the ego makes on you. And all you have to do is just go to that space of love. It's what my next book's going to be about. I can't wait to get started writing it.
What's on
divine love, on how to live it, how to access it, how to practice it, how it's distinguished between human love and spiritual love, and that each and every one of us have this capacity. And I think if we can just get enough of us here, you know, it's love for everyone, Jeannie. I mean, you're calling from North Carolina, which has been in the news a lot lately because of, you know, they just passed some kind of an ordinance down there in their constitution banning same-sex marriages or something like this.
Yeah.
But if we can have love for everyone without any exceptions, just extend love outward externally to everyone, we'll change our rules. We'll start having leaders, political leaders, come out of that kind of consciousness, and and ultimately, you know, a Gandhi or a Jesus or someone like that who never held political office but were more influential than anybody who ever sat in a political office. This is what we'll do. This is what I aspire to be, a person who lives from a place of divine love. And you can do this. You can practice this in your meditation. Just stay in that state. Stay in that people state. I recognize the thought. Thank you. I acknowledge you. I even send you love. But I am, you know, I was trained to believe that I am what I do, what I accomplish, what I achieve, what I own, and so on. And I no longer am interested in that. I only am interested in being in a state of love. And when you come out of the meditation, see if you can extend love to someone, even if it's just with a gesture or a smile or kindness, and just practice it. And ultimately, you'll see that when you connect yourself in divine love, you'll see that the great teachers, the great angels, the people that are around you will begin to show up, because you can't attract this divine guidance by asking for it or going after it. You have to attract it by being like it. They are the angels out there. These angels of love only recognize people who are acting the way they act, the way they are. So it's not like I'm going to pray a lot for it and hope that I get it. You just have to be like this. And when enough of us are like this, we won't have the kinds of conflicts that we have on our planet.
I know.
Well, as a testament, let me say that I also practice what you were telling Lacey about, the 5 minutes before you go to bed. I'm working my way practicing wishes fulfilled.
Good.
It makes such a difference in the way that you wake up in the morning and you actually feel the divine presence around you all day, and you want to bring to other people a compliment, a smile. Like you said, it doesn't cost any money, but it makes all the difference in the world to go to bed with that reformation in your mind.
It's so important that you're pointing this out, sweetheart, because what we're doing here, what I'm saying to you, is that these last 5 minutes before you go to sleep, you remember that quote from Job right out of the scriptures, is that it is when men are slumbering on their beds that their ears are opened and their instructions are sealed. Okay, so that while you are in your sleep state, you're in an unconscious state. This is the state where your subconscious mind is most comfortable with when you're in that unconscious state. And when you start, most of the stuff that you do all day long comes from your subconscious mind. I mean, you don't get up in the morning and say, now, how do I put my shoes on, you know, and how do I brush my teeth, and how do I put the toaster in, and so on. You do about 97% of everything you do all day long with a subconscious mind. But you also have so many thoughts in your head all the time that were there as well, about what you can't do, about what's not possible, about what you're angry about how other people are hurting you, and so on. And so what you have to do is begin to reprogram them by placing into your imagination what it is that you intend to manifest. I am well. I am peace. I am God. I am thrilled. I am content. And then say those things as you get ready to go into your subconscious mind for the next 8 hours. And then when you awaken, your subconscious mind got a nudge, and you'll start acting in those kind of ways. And before you know it, you will see the stuff that you thought wasn't possible. You'll start seeing synchronistic events. You'll start seeing this is the universe responding to you, because the universe is based on love. The universe is. I always quote that very famous poem of Hafiz, you know, the great Persian poet. He said, you know, even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Just think what a love like that can do. It lights up the whole world. You know, it's like become like the sun. Just be that which is just always giving and offering and asks nothing in return.
It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting you say that. And also getting to the place of, I mean, literally there's, you know, 450 questions here, and the majority of them are dealing with pain. And that's why something maybe out where you have like the meditation CD or something that gets you into the space that breaks you out of that intensity and introduces, I mean, because there are definitely energies, frequencies, things we absorb, stories that we tell ourselves, most of it comes from our own internal dialogue, of what we, you know, the what keeps us in this pain, and we have this agreement with this pain. But if we could break it and find a tool to help us get to this place, then that blissful state of love, the I am that I am, is available right there for you. And so I really appreciate you saying that. I know your daughter works with helping people in human trafficking. You know, and from this place, you're able to go to helping the deep sorrows, the deep pain that's going on, but from this place, you're able to help people like that.
It's having compassion, not only for others, but for yourself as well. The Dalai Lama said that if you could take every child at the age of five, every child on the planet at the age of five, and have them meditate for just 1 hour a week on compassion, just on compassion for themselves and for others and for the planet, that we could eliminate all violence on this planet in one generation.
Wow.
That's how powerful thinking this way is. That if we could just train ourselves to stop thinking about what's wrong or what we don't like and who's different than we are and how much we hate others who don't think and act and behave the way we do. If we could just have compassion, just a sense of extending love towards everyone, towards all things, in a generation, just a generation, we could eliminate all these wars, all this hatred. I mean, I saw a great story in the paper, I think I talked to you about it the other day, of a guy who was in Serbia back in the 1990s when they were going to war over the Kosovo situation and in Sarajevo. And he decided, he was given a gun and told that your patriotic duty is to go out and kill people. And he said he just couldn't do that. And he left there and he came to America, worked as a janitor at Columbia University, and just got his degree. It took him like 18 years to get his degree. But he said, I just couldn't be told that I had to hate people who looked and talked and thought exactly like I did, just because I was told to do that. That's what will happen. And then ultimately it'll answer that question. What if they threw a war and nobody came? You know, what if they we're just not going to do this any longer. You know, we're just not going to hate and kill and blow up each other. We're going to live in a state of love. That's I believe what my dharma is about. I really believe we can create that.
Wow. You know what, I got to tell you a quick little story about that I Am book. It's in the special offer that Wayne is offering today and that Hay House has put together for us. And there's 7 or 8 books. There's books, CDs, the I Am Wishes Fulfilled Meditation CD that I was saying about. That's the tools that I was talking about in terms of getting you out of this stuck place and that intensity into something that is enables you to transition into to shift. But there's a book in there, it's a kid's book, and it's called I Am, Why Two Little Words Mean So Much. And we talked about this on the last call we were on. And do you know that there was a man that listened to the call that called and had and got 200 of those books, and they were donated from Hay House so sweetly for his child is in a school for disadvantaged youth. And it was such a beautiful synchronicity that happened there, Wayne, that those kids in that school, 200 of those kids, are now going to have that as their required reading and going to spend a whole course on that entire thing about I Am and teaching it to children. It stems in that story that you just said. If we could teach every child just to meditate for 5 minutes, I mean, it would change the entire face of this planet. That's how you start it, is with these types of inspirational tools.
Absolutely. That's why I've written 5 children's books, and that's with Christina Tracy, my co-author.
I have a couple,
Yeah, this last one on I Am is like, if we could just teach kids to grow up to believe that, hey, who I am is divine. Who I am is connected to my source of being. Who I am is love. It's just pure love. I mean, it's all over the scriptures, and yet we use the scriptures as an excuse for going to war against each other. And you know, when it clearly just says in there, you know, forgive your enemies. It doesn't say anything about going out there and killing your enemies. And yet the people call themselves Christians, call themselves, strong believers in the Quran and so on. And if they read it carefully, all it says is just love each other. You know, God doesn't need you to love him. He doesn't need any more temples, doesn't need any more churches and any more mosques. All God wants, as far as I'm concerned, is for us to love each other, because that's what we are. We're just love.
It's beautiful. Yes, absolutely. And that's what you've spent the time in writing about in the Wishes Fulfilled book, because you really went through the discourses and you went to where this is cited in ancient history and all that you discovered, and you put it into developing into your own, you know, manifesting powers, your own wishes fulfilled within you, and how to create a life that you love.
I studied the New Testament before I went in there. Read practically all of it. Read all of the I Am discourses. Read all of Neville's works. Read all of U.S. Anderson's work. And then just let it all come, and just tried to take what I thought were the essential messages of what the great spiritual masters were attempting to teach us, instead of interpreting it in ways that through the ego, but instead of just interpret it from a place of divine love. And all of the pain that you are experiencing out there, and I know about this stuff. I mean, I've been diagnosed with leukemia. I had a heart attack in the year 2000. I know about these kinds of physical pains that have, and even now when I get any kind of a pain at all, I just stop and I just send it love and I just acknowledge that it's not something that I'm interested in having, and you don't have to stay with me anymore. I'm beyond that. And it's amazing how quickly that stuff goes away when I don't focus on it and I say to myself, well, treat my body a little bit better, exercise it more, meditate more, be in a state of peace, send love to as many people as I possibly can, be as generous as I can to everyone I encounter. And lo and behold, the pains just don't even register any longer.
You separate from them. Well, I want to mention one more time, if you go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/dire, it is 7 of Wayne's products, which is an amazing discount. It's like a 50% discount on there. And also, we are including in that 5 recordings that I did with Wayne personally, my favorite ones, and he tells stories upon stories about John of God and miraculous healings and near-death experiences and past lives, parallel universes. We really got one whole call on parallel. That call in itself. I received the most response from that call that you and I did on my radio show about parallel universes. So it's all on that offer there. It's a deep discount. If you have somebody that you know of that is graduating right now, this is the true education. When you get these types of inspirations right when you're moving into a different area or time in your life and you're commencing to a different entire time in your life through a graduation, this is the type of stuff that is not taught in school.
Oh, that is so true, Lisa. And also weddings. I mean, you know, they don't need another blender or a toaster, honestly. You give them a lifetime of love and peace. This is one of the greatest wedding gifts that you could possibly give, or graduation gifts. You're absolutely right. Or Mother's Day or Father's Day, any
right.
of those.
And
you
it
know,
all gets shipped
events.
To you from Hay House, which is wonderful, too. So go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/dire, to be able to dive deeply into this material. We do want to take a few more calls. If you do *2 to raise your hand, and then we'll take a few more calls. And I want to be respectful of your time today, Wayne, because I know you have the ocean to hit out there with swimming. And we've canceled your yoga class for this particular call.
You did.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's worth it, believe me.
It is so worth it, and there's so many calls that are coming in. If you can, pick another number between 1 and 50. We're going to go back to the calls here. Up in the top here, Wayne, what number between
27.
Okay. Sunnyvale, California. Sunnyvale, California. I know where that is.
I do, too. I had an interesting experience there once, many years ago, but we can't talk about it on the radio. Go ahead.
Okay. The Livella House. Hi, in Sunnyvale, do you have a question for Wayne Dire?
Yes, I do.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
And I've been living here for quite a few years and just started listening to Wayne Dire. I love your work, listening to all the programs, and Louise Hay, and just really going into the spiritual training, and I've tried meditating with both Getting in the Gap, and I just recently received the I Am meditation CD, which I love.
Oh, great.
It's amazing.
Isn't it something, that sound always gets to me. I don't even know how to meditate without it. I wrote an endorsement for Jonathan Goldman on it, and I said it's like meditating being cradled in the arms of God. It's such
beautiful,
a peaceful
sound.
A beautiful sound, yes.
What is your question, sweetheart?
I fall asleep.
Oh.
Is that I feel like I probably don't sleep as well at night, so that I'm very, very tired by the time I get into meditation. But does it still work? Am I still going to get that, the effect?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would recommend you read the book Getting in the Gap also. I talk about that in there. But the whole thing is, there's no wrong way to do meditation. You know, there's no right, there's no rules about it. It's unique. Every time you meditate is different and unique, and each person who does it is unique to themselves as well. So it's very hard to write rules about such a personal, because it's really, to me, it's about making conscious contact with God, rather than relying upon somebody else to do it for you, or a church to do it for you, or an organization, or an orthodoxy to do it for you. You take responsibility for making conscious contact with God. And if while you're doing this meditation, You find yourself dozing off. Let yourself doze off. Your subconscious mind is absolutely working. It never goes to sleep. And so while this, especially if you're playing the sound, if the sound is going in there, and you'll find that you'll come, you might think that you're asleep, but the fact is that you're in that state that precedes deep REM sleep. And you're getting just as much out of it, whether you're, in fact, sometimes going to sleep is the best thing that you can do while you're meditating, because then you don't have the constant input of the ego's demands and all these thoughts and you know, it's like thinking about all the things you've got to do and where you've got to go and what somebody did to you and so on, that you're reaching that interior space of, you know, I love to quote from Herman Melville in Moby Dick. He said, especially living out here on an island, he said, "For as this appalling ocean surrounds the verdant land, so in the soul of man lies one insular Tahiti, full of peace and joy, but encompassed by all of the horrors of the half-lived life." And the joy and the peace that is inside, that's deep inside of you, it's the stillness that it's like it's, and the ocean, if you look at the surface of the ocean, it's all where the storms are, all the disturbances are, it's where the rain comes, it's where the dirt collects and so on. But when you go down deep into it and you get to the stillness, that's where you're attempting to go when you do this. And sometimes a few moments of sleep in there are even more valuable. But there's no way of assessing whether or not it's valuable or not, because what you're really doing here is using your mind to get past your mind, and that's why it's so difficult for most people. And again, Blaise Pascal, the great scientist, said that all of man's troubles stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Most of us just aren't good at that. So if you go off for a few moments while you're in there, you'd be thankful for that.
That's a very universal question, by the way, Sue. A lot of people ask that, and it also happens in the early phases of meditation, which you said that you experienced. You said that you were kind of new at this, right?
I've been kind of experiencing finding my spiritual path over about the last 5-6 years.
What I experienced was it eventually all blends together, because the conscious state and the unconscious state become one in that place of meditation, and that's where that true growth begins. That's where you're really crossing between both worlds. I just have gone through that too, and I know that Wayne has been probably meditating for about 50 years and has...
Not quite, no, not that long, but although I was introduced to it when I was in my 20s. But I've been doing it about 30 years now. Yeah.
30 as well. Does that happen to you as well? And thank you for your call, Sue. Does that happen with you as well, where you have a transitional experience? I mean, so much has happened to you. Where do you come up with all of this amazing do you do any, I got to ask you, I've always wondered, do you do any particular mind exercises to keep your mind sharp and alert with all the recall that you do, with all of these quotes? And, I mean, it's just in talking to you for an hour, you have so many things at your fingertips, and your recall is amazing.
Yeah, I just believe that I am God. I really believe that I am a genius. I mean, you can believe that, you know, it's like everyone, we're all born geniuses, but life has a tendency to de-genius us. You know, we start to think that we're not as capable. We start comparing ourselves and so on. And I just believe that within me, there is a divine place within me, and it's capable of all things. So that when I go to speak or when I do an interview such as this, I just rely upon that inner knowing that I am capable of all things. And once you know that and experience that, then you start acting on it. And I don't do it to show off. I don't do it for any of that. I do read a lot, and I think about these kinds of things. I mean, I don't ever watch things that have violence in them, and I don't spend a lot of my time, you know, just watching frivolous movies or you know, listening to harsh music and things like that. I treasure my time. And,
there's someone who wrote in a question here. Her name is Linda, and she says she's noticed forgetfulness. She's 67. She's noticed forgetfulness, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, memory loss. How can the training of accepting and being open and receiving of all things work for her. And I think what you're saying is it's the opposite. You don't accept
yeah,
that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Not only that, but I say, and I've been saying it since I was in my 20s, that I will not get Alzheimer's. It's not possible for me to do that. And one of the things that I learned when I was in my 30s, when I was studying for my PhD and all of that, or in my 20s, is that what happens to us when we're older, the number one factor which determines how our life is going to be when we're in our 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, is what we believe when we're 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s about what old age is. And if you start believing when you're younger that that you are capable, that you are not going to deteriorate, that your body doesn't have to slow down, that you don't have to you don't have to disintegrate and have your skills lessen and your memory doesn't have to go. And if you just start saying, I'm not going to ever let an old person move into my body. And I've been saying that, and if you look back at my lectures when I was in my 30s and 40s, and they're all out there, you'll hear me saying those things over and over again. And I would say to people, just say, it is not possible for me to have this. I would also recommend to this person that she read Pam McDonald's book, The Perfect Gene Diet. We are now finding that by changing the diet, by finding out what type you are, and you can do this through a simple blood type, and making your diet inherent with your genetic blueprint and keeping it aligned in the proper way and eating the kind of foods that your body demands. And this book, and you might contact Pam McDonald in California. She's that information
right.
is in the book. It's called The Perfect Gene Diet, that you can really shift a lot of these things. That's an epidemic, but it's basically an epidemic of belief, and we're starting to see that people who are diagnosed with this disease can really start to slow down some of the debilitating effects of it by just changing around the kinds of foods that they eat and what we put into our body.
Right.
But after all,
and
everything in our body and our brain and everything is fed by the food that we put into it.
And in your case, the not food.
Well, I got lemons and maple syrup. That's food.
That's true. Okay, there was a woman who got on the call an hour before we started, and I just wanted to see if she's...
Okay, let's take her, and then I've got to run.
Okay. She's from Guelph. Do you remember our Guelph call?
Yes, I do. Yes, yes. In Ontario. Yeah, you call that Guelph or something.
Hi.
Does it show that I'm that excited?
You're so cute. Yes, it does.
There's just so many things, Dr. Wayne. You've been a blessing in my life since I was 19 years old.
Wow.
I found there's certain books you carry with you as your comfort, and I come from a childhood of quite a bit of abuse, and those are stories. They're not me, but I now understand they're part of my journey. They're part of all the experiences that I've gathered to be able to empower me to do what I need to do in my next step in my journey. I am an artist. My art is what got me through a lot of very dark and very hard times. I paint from my heart. I'm very intuitive. I paint for children, so I think that heals the child within as well as children. And your book just makes me want to giggle. I haven't seen it yet. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Which is the field book?
Yeah, no, the children's book.
I have
The Wishes Fulfilled and have just started reading it. And I had an experience today where I was told about a young teenage boy who was born at, some people might say, not an attractive. I was very disturbed when I heard the description of him and realized that this is what he's been experiencing through his life. And he had a classmate say something that wasn't kind to him after he had accidentally spilled something on one of his friend's shirts. And he went home and he hung himself. But he texted to two of his friends before he did this. One of them had the insight to show it to the father, and they raced over, broke down the door, and they ended up saving this young boy. Now, his first reaction to his friend was, why did you do this? I wanted to end my life. The father, he was not breathing. They brought him back to life. He has now gotten help, and I just wept and I sobbed because I realized, it's not at the teenage stage that we need to help these kids. It's when they're little, so they don't get to that chronic stage at when they're teenagers, that people judging them and calling them ugly, or they don't measure up, that it affects them where they don't want to be here. And it resonated so deep within me, and I realized, with your story, Dr. Wayne, about I hadn't even thought of becoming a foster mom. I realized I am, everything stopped in my life. The old jobs fell away.
Wow, what a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I haven't known what I'm going to do next. And then this whole experience happened today as I was excited, anticipating talking to you today.
And you got on the call an hour early, which is absolutely enormous. And so I think basically what you're doing is you're saying your whole point is the inspiration that you got from Dr. Wayne's books, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. I so appreciate
that. Not only when children are little, but, you know, even when they're in utero. You know, I often at my talks I have the pregnant ladies come up and give each of them a copy of one of my children's books.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
So that they can be told how wonderful and how loving and how grateful you am just for being given the opportunity. And you know, Father's Day is coming up next month, and my kids love Father's Day. If you ask my kids what's your favorite holiday, they say it's Father's Day, because for the last great number of years, I have written checks to each one of my children and written them a letter, and I give them very large checks on Father's Day, thanking them for the opportunity. And for the blessing that it has been to be entrusted with the responsibility of fathering you, and I thank you for it, and how much I adore them. So that's always my gift back to them on Father's Day, rather than asking them for a present.
That's so beautiful. Well, yeah. Thank you. I mean, thank you so much, and thank you very much for your call. It's so sweet. You have truly inspired millions, and you know this. And I don't have to tell you this, but there's an enormous amount of gratitude coming through the phones and the questions for you. And while I wish we could get to everybody, we got through a lot of people's questions.
Yeah, we did. It was great. Well, let's do it again.
Yeah, let's. And also for people to get their even deeper research and deeper reading and experiences with the meditation CDs and the books and so forth, this the offer that we're offering here is definitely going to have to end this weekend, because it goes all over the place with his PBS specials and on Hay House and so forth. If you went anywhere, you would find this offer for double the price. And also, you wouldn't be able to find the Aware Show CDs, the recordings, anywhere else other than right here. This is only for you, for the Aware Show listeners. And I just want to say thank you. This is the gift that we give in terms of being on these calls, is this deep discount for these products, so it becomes accessible to you, and then share the products with other people and give them as gifts and be inspired like the people that have gotten through on the lines as well have expressed. So thank you so much, Wayne. You are a gem.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I love you, and all of you out there, I love you. Well, it's all I have in my heart these days. So
well, you and I can email you some of the other questions that were coming in through here, too, because they're really incredible questions, and so you can see the pulse of where people were at as well. So awesome, awesome stuff. Thank you so much for spending time with us again.
My pleasure. I love it, and I love you, dear. Thank you.
I love you, too. Thank you so much, Wayne. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Welcome. Okay, sweetheart.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Dr. Wayne Dyer, such an amazing, inspirational person, and really has the tools that he's helped so many people get through major challenges in their life. What I've seen today and what I experienced was that every single thing that came through on the calls and on the questions, as we learned, are limited by our own thinking. To spend over an hour with Wayne to see where he guides people, it's all about our thinking. It's all about when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And it's given so many different examples in history that he documents in the I Am, the Wishes Fulfilled book with the I Am Discourses. So get the offer. It does go away in 2 days. It is a deeply discounted offer. And there's also, I mentioned this earlier in the call, the second offer there, you really do get not only your pass to the I Can Do It conference, which is going to be sold out in Pasadena. I'm going to be there with you guys in Pasadena when Wayne is there at the I Can Do It conference. So that second offer there gives you the pass to the I Can Do It weekend retreat. 30 other speakers are going to be speaking, all Hay House authors, during that retreat. And you get an autographed copy of the book, Wishes Fulfilled. Then you get to take home the speeches, all the speeches. That would be an additional $200, $300 if you go to the event. So that's a huge value right there. It's deeply discounted. This will be something that you really want to purchase, because it doesn't exist anywhere else. So take advantage of both of those offers there. The first one is all of his products and then the CDs, of course, from the Aware Show interviews. And the second one includes the all the products and the event and the USB key and the special lecture that Wayne is doing. So go to theawareshow.com/Dyer. I thank you all so much for joining me today. Continue with the Aware Show teleseminar calls. They're up again next Monday, coming up on Monday, at the same time, 1 o'clock Pacific. And it is because of you that these calls happen. So thank you so much for your energy and your participation and your healing. Now go forth and prosper. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.